When it comes to presidential scandals, the Trump administration is not the first to weather storms. But modern communication like Twitter has delivered lightning speed responses this past year. But that wasn't the case yesterday, as news broke of a guilty verdict on 8 counts for former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort and a guilty plea for Trump attorney Michael Cohen. Republicans, both hardcore supporters and those who've pushed back in the past, remained largely silent. So why? Well, for more on that, let's talk with White House editor for The Washington Post, Dave Clark. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's look at precedent a bit. When there have been presidential scandals in the past, what have we seen from prominent party members in terms of how willing they are to weigh in on a controversy like this?
I think we've seen in the past what we're seeing now, which is that, at least at first, members of the president party will rally around him or at the very least seek not to comment on it. It's rare that you'll see someone immediately come out and criticize a president of their own party. We saw that both in Watergate and during the Whitewater years, the Clinton administration. And I think that's what we're seeing now is that Republicans in Congress and elsewhere are kind of trying to digest what happened yesterday and figure out what their response is going to be. I know in our newsroom we've received a lot of, I'm not familiar with all the details yet. I haven't looked at it, sort of stalling tactics, but, you know, that's hard to keep up. At some point you're going to have to say something, and that something's either going to be condemning the president or buying into what the president's allies are saying, which is that, you know, this is a witch hunt, this is unfair, or that, this doesn't really implicate the president. He is associated with these people, but they did the crimes, not the president.
What about the critics for whom it wouldn't seem to matter as much? Someone like Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, Tennessee's Bob Corker, they're not running for re-election anyway. They've been very critical of the president. They don't need to necessarily throw him under the bus, but it would seem people would like them to comment.
Exactly. That's a good point. A lot of the critical comments we've seen from Republicans are coming from people who aren't running for re-election. And that's really the dilemma that a lot of these Republicans face. If they're running for re-election, the president's still very popular within their party. And so they need those voters to win. And that's one of the reasons they're keeping silent. So a lot of the harshest criticism are you're hearing it from people like Senator Flake or Senator Corker. They're not running for re-election. And they have been highly critical of the president. But I think when you'll see a break, or when we'll know there's a real break between the party and the president, is if you see people running for re-election decide, hey, you know, this is getting to be too much. I need to come out against this in order to kind of save my own career.
Have our expectations changed as far as the amount of time that we think is appropriate for somebody to comment?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, with Twitter and 24-hour cable and, you know, news organizations like ourselves just kind of publishing stories all day, I think it has a little bit where we want an immediate reaction. But, a lot of times it's when we have politicians telling us that, well, I really haven't paid attention to it. I need more time to think about it. You know, that is, in a lot of instances, a stalling tactic, right? I mean, if you're a politician yesterday, you obviously have lots of important things to be doing, but it's pretty big news to kind of act as if, well, I haven't really caught up with it. I mean, I think a lot of people obviously do have opinions and thoughts about it. What they're really doing is buying time to kind of formulate their strategy for how they want to respond. And obviously a lot of them just don't have an idea right now on what is the best response.
Dave, just one more question for you. The president remains very popular among Republicans, and some Republicans are obviously very passionate supporters of his. Does something like this, maybe not this particular thing that happened yesterday, but just a buildup of these items and these people associated with the president either being convicted or being accused as they continue to be, do you see any of that changing his popularity? Or in some cases, will loyalists dig in more deeply with their loyalty to him?
I think what we've seen so far is that the people who are loyal to the president, voters or members of Congress, but let's just focus on voters, you know, there's been very little that's caused them to break for the president. And I don't know that what happened yesterday will lead them to do so. But when we're looking ahead to the midterm elections, the key is going to be in these districts where Democrats have a chance. Will people who are a little bit on the fence, maybe they vote Republican sometimes, maybe Democrat other times, or if they're Republicans who, you know, really don't like President Trump, do they then decide, you know what, this year I'm going to vote for the Democratic candidate? That's really the issue, because so far we've seen the president has a very solid group of supporters that aren't going to break with them, but You know, that number is not high enough to save Republicans in the midterm elections necessarily. So those are the voters we'll be watching, is the people in these districts that are kind of swing districts or are districts Democrats can win. Does it really influence voters there enough?
Dave Clark is the Washington Post White House editor. Dave, good to chat with you. Thank you.
Yeah, great being with you.